The Guardian.
I'm with farmer Rob Patchett, who has 1,000 acres. That's 400 hectares of lovely, rich soil on the Humber Estuary in the East Riding of Yorkshire. And as far as the eye can see around his farmhouse, there's the green of wheat coming along and the yellow of oilseed rape. What is it that's led Rob this year to the, I mean, compared to last year, a doubling of the price of wheat?
Well, wheat production took a certain dip last year, and of course consumption worldwide is increasing all the time. And so that's what led to what was a very, very rapid hike in the prices last autumn.
Were you, Yorkshire and particularly Hull was famous, or you know, sadly famous last year for the floods. Were your fields here, you're very near the Humber, were you actually flooded?
Well, everybody had ill effects from that. Around here, it was not flooding as in rivers overflowing, but it was just simply a matter that the rainwater could not get away and left the fields severely waterlogged. Some fields actually did have water standing for far too long and it ruined a few crops. But generally, it just had the effect of depressing yields right all round.
Now, although in the short term there's been a big rise in prices, over the longer term, and people like yourself obviously have to think in the long term, that's not the case.
No, I was looking back through some records, and back in the early 90s, we were getting a price of up to £120 a tonne for the wheat. The average selling price this year has been about £150 a tonne, despite the fact that it peaked at £180 for a short while. Therefore, that equates to a 25% increase over a period of 15 years. Which, you know, I would say, basically, if prices in the supermarkets have gone up by more than 25% over the last 15 years, which I know they have, Then it is not merely the increased price of food that is causing that effect.
No, because, of course, there's all the other costs, the packaging and the transport. And talking of those, you face those costs as well. And as we all know, I mean, diesel, for example, has rocketed up.
Yes, Martin, I was looking through some figures the other day that in the early 90s... It required 1 tonne of wheat to buy 1,000 litres of tractor diesel. At today's prices, it would take us 4 tonnes of wheat to purchase that same 1,000 litres of tractor diesel.
And I gather, whereas in the early 90s, you'd have needed 1 tonne of wheat to get a tonne of nitrogen fertiliser, you'd now need 2 tonnes of wheat to get the same amount.
Yes, that is the figure that I've come up with. The price of fertiliser has gone up something like 2.5-3 times over the last few years. So, again, that input is now relatively costing us twice as much, or rather, it's costing us twice as much as it was relative in 96. Farming heavy fertile land has its advantages and disadvantages on one hand. In a drought season, this land holds its moisture extremely well, and we do get good crops despite a drought. But the other side of the coin is, of course, that it does require an awful lot more diesel per hectare to cultivate this land than it would on lighter soil. And therefore, these increases in fuel prices are really quite a serious issue for us.
Now, I came here along the M62 past the big power stations, you know, especially Drax, which is, they're greening. And there's a lot of discussion about biofuels and the fact that we're growing, the world is growing crops for fuel. Has that impacted on both prices and on your way of farming?
There will always be a slight impact on the prices, but I think there are some very, very widely inaccurate scare stories about how much this has increased prices. What is usually overlooked is the fact that if you took ethanol production, for example, for every 1 tonne of wheat taken to produce ethanol, 2/3 of that tonne is then available as a byproduct to go back into the food chain via animal feed. Ditto with the oilseed rape, the meal that's left from the crush of the oilseed rape, if biodiesel is made. So it's a question of whether you take the gross figure that's taken by the biofuels or the net figure. And it does make a tremendous difference to some of these figures which are being quoted.
That's really interesting. So you can sort of have your biofuel and eat it, or at least the animals can eat it, as it were. I didn't realise that.
Well, as far as this country is concerned, it would be a wonderful thing to have more biofuel plants, because we would then be able to process in the UK and use the biofuel and use the byproduct for animal feed, at the moment we have a situation that because of, sadly, what's happened in this country is that a lot of the animal production has gone abroad, and we're left with the cereal production, which is then exporting the cereals abroad for animal feed, which used to take place in the UK. If some of that could be diverted into biofuels, we would then keep a source of cheap feed in the UK for the livestock producers.
For more discussion and analysis, download Guardian Daily. That's the Guardian's news podcast, available first thing in the morning, Monday to Friday.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.